Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Turn to the one beside him and say, "You sure look good today." Now, how many of you believe that? We're going to talk about believing. We started last week on believing. Remember, we started Philippians 4:13. So if you turn there with me, but our main text is going to come from Exodus chapter 4. So if you'll get ready to look at those scriptures, let's go to Philippians 4:13. We began last week actually laying some foundation, and we'll continue to do that because I'm just allowing God to direct me and lead me, because I want to say every time I come in here, I want to share with you what He has given me to share with you. But I really, really feel His anointing and presence on this message, because what we believe about ourselves is critical. And Paul writes here, and I don't have to get into the background of Paul. We know his history, we know what he went through, and I'm sure he had some troubled nights because he was a murderer. He did a lot of things that you and I have never done, but when God comes to us, he saves us by grace and mercy. But Paul writes here, and I love this scripture. As a young man, this scripture carried me a lot of days. It said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things, Paul speaking to himself, through Christ who gives me the strength. Now that's important. That verse is important. But let's go to Exodus, because we're going to be talking about Moses, who really needed that scripture because he didn't believe that. He didn't believe that. So in Exodus chapter 4, God has a plan for every one of our lives. And we see here God beginning to unveil the plan He had for Moses. God didn't call us to do things. He didn't call us to build this church. He didn't call us to make a difference in people's lives because we got all the ability. He just called us that we would become vessels unto Him and let Him strengthen us and allow us to do it. Believing is very critical. And it says, Moses, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, "And Moses answered, Behold, they will not believe me." Now we know he had a tremendous impediment, speech impediment. Evidently, by studying the scriptures and going through the background, it was kind of rough. He was intimidated by himself. You got to understand at this point, I mentioned to you last week, but it's critical that you get the first part of this. He's running now from everybody. He's a prisoner. He's a convict. Whatever you want to call him, he's running. He's running. And he feels that he has nothing to give. Sort of like the world today. He's just running because he's escaped convict. He's just trying to get away. But it doesn't matter how far we run, do we? God knows where we're at. And he said, Moses, so he shows him. God begins to speak to Moses, begins through a burning bush. We know that. And then he said, God begins to speak to Moses. And he said, "Behold, Moses, you're going to be great." Now, we're going to get this in just a minute because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we probably wouldn't have chose Moses to do this job, but God did. And so he begins to unveil to Moses what his plan is, and Moses don't believe it. He said, "And Moses answered and said, Behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice. For they will say, The Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, What's in your hand?" Remember last week, God didn't even take the time to articulate on the "they." And we're going to get that in just a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But that's an important note that you need to put. They won't listen to me. Instead of God wasting time about the "they," God immediately goes to Moses and said, "What do you got in your hand? What's in your hand?" He said, "I got a staff or a stick or a rod." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. Now, I love the Word of God because it's so deep. We'll never ever touch everything that's in that Word. Never. But the serpent part means that there is a spirit behind that that's intimidating Moses to think that you can't be what God's called you to be God created every one of us in His image and His glory. And now He's intimidated, so He says, throw that rod on the ground. He throws it on the ground, comes a snake. And look, it says, verse 4, but the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and he caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe the Lord, the God of their fathers, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, that has appeared to you. It's very important. I want to make this statement again. I made it last week, but it's critical that you get this. What we believe about ourselves determines our philosophy, our vision, our purpose, and our goals of life. What we believe, Paul said, I can do this. Even though the people telling me I can't do it, I can do this. Because God said I could do it. And the Bible teaches us through God's word that the belief system we have tells everything about us. I'll make this statement here and then we're going to move on. God is most concerned about everything in your life, but He's most concerned about you believing in Him. Because when you believe in Him, He will help you believe in yourself. When you believe in Him, there's nothing that can stop you. Last week we talked about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes. So when you begin to believe, and that's the warfare today, that's the warfare. No matter what you're going through right now, I guarantee you there's some belief going on, there's some doubt going on, there's some confusion going on, because that's how the enemy works. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about successful companies that have been successful because they believed in themselves. Nike is one of those companies. We're all familiar with Nike athletic wear and that type thing. As I began to do some research on that company and find out why are they so, you know, there's a lot of people make tennis shoes or whatever, athletic equipment. What makes them stand out to the point that even the professional athletes want to have their clothes? And I broke it all down in the same scenario. Like all the others, they believed in what they were doing. They believed in their product, and there was some testimonials there of actual employees who worked there, even down from the highest right on down to the janitor. They could tell you the history of the company. They could tell you how valuable that company was to them. They could tell you the philosophy of that company. And they all believed that they were working for the greatest athletic company in the world. If you can believe, all things are possible. When we ride on this property, I want you to understand, it's more than a building. It's more than a church. It's a statement. For 51 years, people have rode by this property and it's still standing. There have been a lot in this city have come and a lot in this city have gone. There's been a lot of fads and fashions and all that stuff for a while and then it fades away. But God's word stands true. And I'm proud every time I come in. I believe in the effort and what we're trying to accomplish here. I believe that. If you can believe, all things are possible. Let me start by saying this. If you know who you are, if you know who you are, then you also know who you are not. If you know who you are, then you also know who you are not. Many people today don't know who they are, and they don't know the calling that's on their life, so they just kind of go with the flow. Many people's belief system is based on who they're with. Many people's belief system is based on the people that are surrounding them, and when the opinion of the people changes, they get confused. But I want you to understand that the number one tool of the enemy is confusion. And I want to say this publicly and clearly. God is not the author of confusion. If you've got confusion in your life right now, I will promise you, by my hand on this word, God did not send that confusion. There's an enemy out there who does not want you to believe in yourself and believe in the God that can take you, Moses, who can't talk, who's not articulate, who's not really intelligent, and not able to lead millions of people. We're not talking about 50 or 100 people. We're talking about millions of people. But with God, all things are possible. You know what I believe about Northview Church? Why wouldn't somebody want to be here? When I'm witnessing to people and talking to people during the week, and you know, I'm just like you, I hear a lot of you say, you know, I invited somebody to come, they didn't come. That's going to happen. But you know what? It's not going to stop me from inviting. Because I have the mentality that why wouldn't you want to be in this atmosphere? There is a presence of God in this place that I love so much. I want to share it with everybody. I want you to at least know about it. You may not come, but I'm going to tell you about it. Amen? I believe. People today, they get confused because one believes this way and one believes in that way. And I thought I believed that, but now I'm not sure. God wants you to believe in who you are. He wants you to believe in who you are and know who He is. And when you begin to know, I love so much what James, and I want to brag on all the men that stand up here every Sunday and lead the service, because all of them always feed me with something. But today, wasn't that beautiful when we got a place at the table? I'm an heir to the throne. I'm a child of the King. And when the enemy's telling me, you're not going to make it, you're not going to have enough, you're not going to be enough, you're not this and you're not that, how am I going to believe that over what God said when I love you so much, I'm going to give everything heaven's got for you? And I got a place at the table. And guess what? He knows my name. I'm not a number. I'm not what you might call it down there. I am an heir to the throne, and I need to know that. Because tomorrow morning, Monday morning, may be gloom and doom and everything coming against me, and you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that. I need to know who I am. So I want us to look at this scripture today. Paul had to believe in himself. Believing in God is believing in yourself. You need to write that down. Believing in God is believing in yourself. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Let me tell you something. We know that. Our righteousness is a filthy rags. But the Bible says because Abraham believed, all through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, because Abraham believed, it was accounted unto him what? Righteous. He had a lie. He had a problem with lying. You know, he lied about his wife being his sister and all that. He had problems. God does not pick people out of this word because they're perfect. He picks them to show us they have vulnerabilities. They have problems. They have issues. But it's not in our strength. It's in the ability to know who our God is and say, God, help me. He said, I can do all things. To believe in God is to believe in yourself. I can do all things. Now I want to ask you to do something awkward. Turn to one beside you and say, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. You got to believe that. You got to believe that in the morning when you're having all this negativity coming against you. You got to believe that. Listen to this. To conquer the devil. Now I know we're so intelligent today that we don't believe the devil. We don't use those terms anymore. But I'm going to tell you, whatever term you want to call it, there's evil out there. How many of you know that? There's evil. If you don't believe it, turn on the TV. There's evil out there. But the evil is not greater than our God. And if I am a child of God, and if, no, there's no if about, I am a child of God, because I ask Him to come in my heart, even with all my mess, even with all the, any of y'all got some mess? Even all that stuff that we got that's not all connected all the time, He loves us not based on who we are, but He loves us based on who He is. He said, and when you're going through these times, and the enemy's telling you, well, you messed up. Or you remember what you did? Or you remember what you said? Or you remember all those, you know, the devil can always remind you how bad you are or how you don't have it together. He said, I'm not interested in that. You're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're an heir to the throne. And as James said, we sit at the table every single day. We have access to the table. We don't have to stand in the corner. We don't have to stand outside the window. The veil's been ripped in two. And I can boldly, boldly, the Bible says, walk into the throne room of God and say, God, I'm here today with all my junk and with all my mess. I bring it to you today because I can't handle this on my own. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that God doesn't expect me? But I'm going to tell you, there's a devil out there, and you got to get this. Get this. To conquer the devil, evil, you must fight it with faith. And that faith is believing. You must believe that you're more than a conqueror. And that's not some mental Superman mentality. You know what that says? God, when I get into hard places of life, I'm going to train myself not to listen to all this rhetoric. I'm not going to listen to all this chatter. I'm going to train myself that when I get to water that is deeper than I am, to call on your name because you're greater than me. Amen. Successful people, you know, I've been doing a lot of studying about that lately. I found out the belief. They believe. They believe in themselves. And you know, when I begin to study and realize who they are, like Orville and Wilbur Wright, they didn't have any money. They didn't have anything. They had a dream. But they believed. And so when you, the belief system that you have is very powerful. When I read the successful people, they're no talented than we are. They're no different than we are. The only difference is their belief system. They believe. When you drive up on this property, I know there's all churches everywhere, and that's fine, and I pray that every one of them will do what God wants them to do, but there's still another church here, and it's called Northview Baptist Church, and we have a right to be here. God put us here, and as long as we're here, the lights are on, amen, and we can have a church, and we can do what God's called us to do. And let me tell you what's one of the biggest things God's called us to do, showing up, amen. Half the battle, 90% of the battle, is showing up. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, many people today have talents buried within them. And the scripture came to me, and I'm just enjoying this today, so y'all just bear with me, because this thing's been going on for several months now, but every one of you got buried talents. Every one of you got something that somebody needs. I want you to think about that. Everyone in this place today, young and old, have got something that somebody needs. Now get this. Every one of you got something that somebody needs. And the Bible said, I've dealt to every man a measure of faith. You know that? That's in the Bible, right? I've dealt to everyone. Nobody here is better or less than anybody else. We've got access to God just like anybody else. Amen. You today can begin to touch lives, and you do touch lives. Every one of you are making impact on people's lives, no matter what you think. Or you say, well, I'm not something great. God doesn't use greatness. He don't have to be great. God, you become great because God's great. Amen. You got to begin to believe so that when you invite somebody to church, you just don't say, well, we want a number. We're trying to get 100 people in our church, and you're 99, and we want you to be here. I wouldn't want to go like that. But I want you to understand, you need to come to our church because I recognize you're going through some problems and you're going through some difficulties. Let me tell you about a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. And He will restore unto you that you need. He's a God that is powerful, and nothing He can't do. Amen. I tell you right now, they may not come, but they'll never forget what you said. All right, that's the introduction. Let's go to Moses. Moses was a man that, like we said, that we probably wouldn't have chose. He was a man that inside of him, he's committed a crime. He murdered a guy. He's on the run. He's got physical problems. He's got speech problems. He's got problems. Anybody here got problems? Thank God nobody's got no problems. Praise the Lord. We'll just share this message with somebody else. But he's got problems. This man is going to shake nations. This man is going to sit with kings. This man is going to handle a budget of billions of dollars. This man is going to lead millions of people. Millions. When I began to study that and go back into history and read that, it blew my mind. And he's standing there, intimidated, feeling low and unusable, and he's a criminal hiding in the woods. He's scared. He's trembling. And he says, God, you've messed up. You got the wrong guy. If you can believe, if I could get one or two of you just to believe, there's no telling what you could turn upside down. You remember when Jesus was here and he met with the disciples? He had 12 guys. One of them was the devil. So he actually had, 11 guys. And it was noted to them that those are the guys who turned the world upside down. When you begin to break down who they weren't special. But they were serving a special God. When you reach your hand out to shake somebody's hand or welcome them to church or whatever, you're not basing it on who you are. You're basing it on who He is. But I want to say this to you. This is important. Where you are now in your life does not define your destiny. Moses was in a place that you and I would get together for a meeting and say, this guy's just not the one. He's just not the one. But I'm going to tell you something. Where Northview is right now does not define where we'll be forever. You say, well, it's been like, I don't want to hear all about the history. I don't want to hear about, well, it's been like this. That's fine. Well, we've been up, we've been down. That's life. But I'm going to tell you, God's in this house. And where we are right now will not define our destiny, because I want to tell you, God is our decision maker. Every one of you face negative situations every day. You need to jot that down. Learn how to deal with negative. Moses, the only way he knew how to deal with it was run from it. You have got to learn who you are. And the destiny that God's got on you. How many of you know that God doesn't make junk? Everything God touches is successful. And you are a successful person. Now, I'm not trying to pump you up psychologically this morning. I'm just giving you the word. When you stand and tell someone, I go to Northview Baptist Church, you need to put your chest out high, and you need to say, let me tell you something. Why is so special about Northview Church? Well, let me tell you what's special about it. It's not a person. It's not anything, but the glory of God reigns in that place every day. And every Sunday we come together and God is with us and we worship Him, we sing to Him, we praise Him, we give Him honor and glory, and He has the power to break chains of bondage in your life. How many of you believe that? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So here's what I'm going to tell you about. When where you are right now, this is the first point, I got to close. Where you are right now does not define your destiny. God's got a tremendous purpose for you. And as I pray for you during the week, sometimes God will put some of you on my mind, some of you that's struggling and going through things, and the Lord is speaking to my heart, I'm not through with them yet. I'm not through with them yet. When I get through with them, they're going to have a testimony that's going to change somebody's life. You see, that's all you got to speak about. All you got to speak about is what God's done for you. All you got to speak about is what God's done for you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. When you begin to tell people, let me tell you, I was laying on a cement slab for hours one night because I fell down, and all I could do was pray. But all I could do was pray, because the God, the great God Jehovah, was right there with me, abiding with me, never left me, and He took care of me and sustained me. Amen. How many of you all else got testimonies like that? Every one of you's got a testimony like that. At some point in your life, God was there for you. Amen. Let me tell you something. I just want to keep preaching and preaching and preaching today. But I'm not. I'm not. Calm down. Calm down. I want to leave this with you. God is speaking to Moses. God don't make mistakes. You're not a mistake. I don't care whoever told you that. If you've ever been told that. I was told that when I was coming up. But I'm going to tell you something. We are not mistakes. We got a table. James, come on up here and preach that again, brother. We got a table that we sit at. We're somebody. Amen. We got a divine invitation from the God who created this universe. Said, hey, James, I want you at my table. Tommy, I want you at my table. You're so valuable to me. I want you just to sit with me. You know how it feels good just to sit with somebody? You go somewhere and you see a friend, come sit with me. That just means something. Just sit with me. And God says, just sit with me because I love you and I want to talk to you. Tell me how your day was. What are you going through? Well, God, I can't do this. I can't talk good. I can't do this. That's okay. That's okay. Because you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Let me give this to you. Learn how to speak to your negative situations. You know how important words are? When God stood where there was nowhere to stand and spoke when there was nowhere to speak, what did He do? Did He think the world into existence? He spoke the world into existence. There's something powerful about your words. You know what? I have discouraged my own self before by my words. I have kept my own self. I'm just confessing to you this morning. I have kept my own self back from what God has for me sometimes because of my words. That ain't never going to happen for me. I'm never going to get that right job. I'm never going to have this. I'm never going to do nothing. And I'm sitting there talking all this, and God said, well, when you're done, when you're through, you know what? We have pity parties and nobody comes. Amen. You ever had a pity party and nobody come? You send out invitations, you get the hat and the cake and everything, and nobody comes. Amen. God shows up and says, well, when you're done, first of all that you're talking is a lie, because you're saying that the circumstance is greater than me, and I want you to understand that I'm a God that is greater than the circumstance. Yeah, but I know what the doctor said. Yeah, but I know what the bank says. Yeah, I know how I feel. Yeah, all that's true. And we're not going to be dumb enough to walk around and say, well, that's not true. It's not. Yeah, that's what they say. But God, I'm going to learn to speak to this thing and say, you negative spirit, I'm better than that. I'm better than that. I don't mean to keep picking on Miss Shirley, but what she went through, she's been through a lot since I've been here. And I've thought about many times her laying on that floor, and I'm sure the devil told her, you're going to die right here, you're going to die right here, you're going to die right here. But there's a God that supersedes what He thinks. Some of you right now have been through things in your life. It's just like, I love y'all, we're family, so we're at the table. And we're talking this morning. I think about Rose. She just went through something with her voice. I guarantee you, I ain't even asked her. I guarantee you ain't never going to be able to talk again. You ain't never going to be able to do this. You know, that's what He does. That's His job. But then when we begin to realize, devil, let me tell you something. God's going to take care of me. And you know what? You learn to speak to it. Your situation does not define who you are. And I want to leave you with a How many times have I left you this morning? I've left you several times this morning. I am going to leave with this. I'm better than this. Turn to the woman beside him and say, I'm better than this. I'm better than this. Have you ever been going through things and it just gives you a bad attitude, or it just kind of tries to rock your world and tries to detour your plans? And the devil's saying, well, that's just the way it's going to be. No. Mm-mm. I'm better than this. Now, Moses didn't understand right then, but his life about to change. I'm going to close right here, but I want to challenge you this week. You look around, you see different ones that's not here today. I'm going to give you a simple assignment. Just look around, see who's not here today. I know Miss Marilyn's not here today. Her daughter got married, so she's babysitting. Thank God for grandmas. Amen. Different ones are not here. Use what's in your hand. Let's look around at what we got. And just pick the phone up. Say, you know, I missed you, Sunday. Just want you to know I love you. Click. How many of you know that means a lot? Means a lot. Means a lot, don't it, Brother Charles? Brother Charles been going through a whole lot the last few weeks, and he's better than that. And he's sitting here this morning, despite all the lies that probably came to his mind over the past, when you know how it is when you get sick, down and out. You know, you hear a lot of stuff, right? But God is truth. All right, I'm asking you to stand. Now I'm going to preach another hour, and would you stand? Amen. This is good to me. I just love y'all. You know, when you love who you're feeding, you just want to make sure they eat real good. Amen. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mighty, mighty blessings. Lord, I know that we will not be anything without you today. I know that. But because I know that, I am somebody because you didn't make just nobodies. Now, Lord, I believe you wouldn't leave me to preach a message like this if there weren't a need for it. So that tells me, Lord, there's people going through stuff in this church. And there's situations coming against people in their lives. Maybe it's on the job. Maybe it's in the home or whatever. That's trying to attack them and bring them down. Lord, we live in a nation now where our nation is so in desperate need of leadership. But now I'm understanding more and more, God, what you mean by that, because we are the leaders. Man is not the answer. A president's not the answer. But you're the answer. And God, the difficult times that we go through and the difficult times that we're going to go through, help us to believe that if we can only believe, if we can only believe, all things are possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless every one of you.